My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
As I stand in the wonderful presence of the Lord today, I can't help but know how unworthy we are to feel what we're feeling. But how wonderful it is, that Jesus is keeping his promise to us. That where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Though I am unworthy, I am a recipient of the grace of God. Is anybody thankful, appreciative, and values what we are experiencing here this morning? It's absolutely magnificent. Sister Sharon Hibbs is reporting a miracle. God healed an undiagnosable sickness completely. Restored her vehicle after breakdown off of the highway. Come on, Jesus. Do it some more. I think you ought to praise God for that. Now, Sister Fairman, Sister Etta, are you here anywhere? Oh, yeah, you're still in the back. You're just hiding amongst the stuff. And so some of you ladies, prayer warriors, if you would come gather around Sister Fairman back there, and we're going to pray for her right now. Buddy Fairman also needs prayer. Nancy Fairman needs prayer. Monica Harrell needs prayer. The family of Raymond Wright, where is the family of Raymond Wright? Loss of Brother Wright, and I know that your hearts are heavy because of that. Sister Larissa, Brother Larry, the loss of our wonderful Brother Gene McCartney, and his homegoing celebration will be here Tuesday. The viewing will be here at the church from 3 to 4. At 4 o'clock will be the homegoing service, and I want y'all to come and gather around this precious family over here. Brother Don, if you would, Brother Mike, Brother Wilbur, would you come gather around them? If y'all would just turn around Ryan and several others around Brother Larry and Sister Larissa. You know that God is a comforter, and we have lost some very precious people to this church this year especially. We've lost some wonderful and precious people. But this is when we find out and know that God is a comforting God, that God is true to his promise, that his word is true, and that we stand on the authority and the righteousness of that word and his character. His character to fulfill that word. And I want you to pray for every one of these sweet people. And Sister Fairman's got to go into surgery this week. We're praying for her. So lift up your voice, church, and cry out. Cry out like it's your loved one. Cry out like it would be your sickness that God needs to heal and to touch. Thank God for the good report. Thank God for all of these names that have been called. That the Lord has heard us and will hear us and answer us according to his promise. Thank you, Lord, for your promise to always hear us and receive our prayer. And we're so thankful, Lord, for your promise. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 51 and verse 17, and then I'll read one verse from Isaiah chapter 61. Psalm 51 and 17, and then Isaiah 61 and 3. But first, Psalm 51 and 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Is anybody glad that's in the Bible? Yeah. Do you know how many times you can feel broken in your lifetime? And God is saying, I will not despise you. Wow. I mean, that may not impress you, but that just blows my ever-loving mind. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem, and then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering, whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bullocks upon thine altar. Isaiah 61:3. This is talking about the anointing of Messiah as far as its prophetic utterance is concerned, and that when he comes, this is the ministry that he will have and effect he will have on people who come to put their faith and trust in him and believe the truth and obey the gospel. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I want to preach today from this text, the beauty of the broken. The beauty of the broken. God bless you. You may be seated. You're all very much aware that we live in a disposable society. Nearly everything that you have or ever will have is made to throw away. If you've got a pen in your pocket, chances are it's designed for a one-time use. When the ink runs out, you simply toss it if you haven't lost it. We throw away shopping bags by the thousands. My wife has hundreds of shopping bags. She is magnificent. She folds those bags, and they are folded in nice little... It's amazing. She really is amazing. I wouldn't even think about something like that. How do you think something like that? You have to be a genius to think something like that. I'm trying to make points, church. Have I made any points? That's what I want to know. We dispose of plastic bottles and aluminum cans and product packaging after just a single use. Even expensive items are considered disposable now. Just consider your smartphone. That's hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And when you take it, if you break it or the glass shatters on it for some reason, you take it to a Verizon store, AT&T, or Sprint store, they say, sir, it's not worth repairing. It's cheaper to replace it. Yeah, right. I don't believe that, but it's true in the sense that it does cost more to fix it than it does to replace it. It's just all very expensive. I mean, how many of you have driven by a fast food restaurant and they were tearing it down, and then 2 weeks later you go by and they're building it back up again? They tear it down because it's disposable. Rather than refurbish it, they demolish it and then rebuild it. Everything we have, just about it, is meant to be used up and thrown away. What about people, church? What about people, I wonder? What happens when people get broken? What happens when men and women get crushed by the pressures of life and they don't feel like worshiping anymore? They don't even feel like coming to church anymore. Do we beat them down? What do we do? What happens after a failure, after an illness, after a loss of a job, an addiction, an affair, or a divorce? What do we do after a human being gets bruised and broken by life? I'm afraid to tell you that all too often we simply turn our backs on them and walk away. And sadly, even people seem to be disposable in these days. We're living in that kind of disposable world, where they don't forget anything. They paste it on Facebook. They keep it in the system. There's no way to expunge it. There's no way to clear your name. That once you're that way, you're always that way. I believe that this society has missed the mark. But I ask for the First Pentecostal Church today to hear me. Let's not miss the mark. The world might miss it, but there's still forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There's still remission of sin in Jesus Christ through the power of his name. But there is a place in society that I read about that broken things are not discarded. As a matter of fact, they're actually become of more value. It's in Japan. They practice the ancient art of kintsugi. It's the craft of repairing broken pottery. When a ceramic piece like a teacup or a vase or a dish gets broken, did I say that right, vase? Okay, because I know. Okay, I'm really up to date now. I just wanted y'all to know, vase. I had to type it into Google. No, I didn't. And it gets broken. They don't just throw it away. Instead, artisans will carefully repair that item. They'll use lacquer that is mixed with a fine metal such as gold or silver or even platinum. And the result is a piece of art that has a few cracks, but those cracks sparkle with gold or with silver. Not only is it saved, but it becomes of more value than it was before. Can anybody see where I'm headed with this? God can not only fix what's broken in your life. I'm here to tell you, you can become of more value after you are healed than before. I'm not trying to give people an excuse to sin and to go out and mess up their lives, but I am telling you that we don't have to be flawless, perfect individuals sitting here lying about our troubles and our trials. I believe God can redeem us. I see from time to time broken people, wounded people, people who have been kicked around and beaten down by life. These people I have come to declare to you, and I have seen it and I believe it is true, that they are more valuable to God in that state than they are in their self-righteous, pharisaical state, acting like they never messed the ever-loving up. Only those who have been wounded and broken can really learn how to worship God and appreciate what they feel when they're in his presence. They've discovered the beauty of the broken, that I am here, I might be broken, but I'm still worshiping God. If you're praising God because you think you're perfect, then sit down. But if you're praising God because you know you was broken, you were blind, you were messed up, but God found you. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was hurting, but now I'm healed. I found the beauty of the broken. Because I discovered I don't have to worship when I feel good. I can worship when I'm wounded. I can worship when I'm broken. And God said, I say it's beautiful. Take his ashes away and give him beauty for ashes. It was Abraham that brought Isaac to Mount Moriah. And it's the first time the word worship is used in the Bible. Wounded and still praising. Broken. It seemed like the system was broken. God never required human sacrifice, and yet he required it of Abraham. As a matter of fact, he said in one prophetic text that it never even occurred to him. It never even came to his mind for you to send your kids through the fires of Molech. Never occurred to him. That's what he said in the prophetic text. And yet in this particular setting, he brings Abraham to a point where he is willing to sacrifice his son and lay the prize upon the altar. And yet God has already prepared and made for him a sacrifice. See, You think that your salvation depends on you. And I've come to tell you it does not. And the minute you think so is the moment you sink. I'm going to say that again because Pentecost needs to get rocked with this truth. Your salvation is dependent on one. Oh, I'm going to preach it. His name is one. He is one. The reason I'm saved today is not because I belong to the First Pentecostal Church. The reason I'm saved today is because Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day. Will y'all let me preach here this morning? That Jesus rescued me. I find again the word worship in the book of Hebrews referring to Jacob. The Bible says he worshiped leaning on his staff. How many of you know that you really can't worship unless you learn to lean? He was leaning because he was limping. I'll tell you why he was leaning. He couldn't walk. The dude was too old and God already messed him up and hit his right thigh and broke it. And then mended it, and then he limped on it for the rest of his life. He was leaning because he was old and limping. How many of you are old and limping? Pray. Don't answer that question. We already know. We understand. We're coming your way. We're coming your way. Not very many years I'll be there. Some of you look like you're moving a little slower than normal. It's all right to laugh because it's true. God measured the wound just enough in that wrestling match with Jacob to take the fight out of his spirit against the purpose of God, but not enough to crush his passion to be in God's presence. God has to measure for you the blow against you, because some of you are fighting the will of God. You're fighting what God wants. You think you've got a better way. You think you know more about it than God. Perhaps you think you do, but you really don't. And I'm not trying to hurt you with that statement. I'm just simply saying you really don't. And God has to hit you hard and cause you to limp and cause you to be broken in order for you to give up that fight and find out it's more important to worship in his presence than to sit around and be whole and go through life and not know the power of God. Whenever Jesus wanted to reveal himself to his disciples after his resurrection, he didn't perform a miracle. When he wanted to show himself to Thomas and to the others that had secluded themselves because they were afraid of what the Sanhedrin was going to do and what Pilate was going to do, were they going to be rounded up, were they going to be crucified and executed, because they were believers in Christ and they were followers of the Lord Jesus. They were his special disciples and they were scared. They were running scared. And then Jesus appears to them and he does not say, "I'm the Lord God Almighty and everybody needs to bow down and worship." He showed them his wounds. And when he showed him his wounds, that convinced him that he was God. And Thomas, when he felt of those wounds, fell down. And then he starts worshiping my Lord and my God. When you consider the moment and you consider the text, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. If you can't worship with that, you can't worship with nothing. Wait just a minute. If you're only worshiping to the beat of the music and you're not worshiping because he was wounded, if you're worshiping because we sang your song today and you're not worshiping because he was wounded, then you're not worshiping at all. Sit the ever-loving down. You have no place standing up doing nothing. But if you appreciate, if you value, I was broken, I was messed up, I was thrown away, but he saw me and he found me and he said, that's beauty in the brokenness of life. So, if you've been crushed, if you've been beaten down, if you fail, and I hate to say it, church, but sometimes Pentecostals will beat you down. But you can't let that stop you because you got beat down and rejected by people. And it's no fault of their own, perhaps, or maybe it is, I don't know, because you have to take every situation on its own merit, but it doesn't make any difference. It still doesn't change how Jesus feels about you. If you have ever failed, if you have ever sinned, if you have wounds and scars on your body and soul, I don't want you to believe for 1 minute that you are useless. You are not disposable. If anything, your life now has more value than before because you have come to the end of your own righteousness and your own self. You are picked up. You've been stitched together by God. He's mended those wounds in broken places, and he's put silver and gold. I said, when you come forth out of that trial, you shall come forth as gold. Your life is going to shine like never before. Your worship is going to be like a sweet offering to God. I want my worship to be like a sweet offering unto the Lord. I wish somebody would listen to this message right now and quit letting the devil beat you out of your joy because you're not perfect. And quit beating you out of your joy because there's still flaws in your life. There's still questions in your mind and you don't have everything settled. But I've been redeemed. I've been bought with a price. You didn't die for me. You didn't give your life for me. But he did. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And when he rose again, he called me by name. He's filled me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now there's three things you got to do to get beautiful in your brokenness. Some of you are not beautiful yet. You got up and you thought it was a different time. Forgot about daylight savings time going back. And now you look tired and sleepy, bless your hearts. And so let me beautify you just a little bit. Because y'all need, I have to stand here and look at you. You might as well get a little more beautiful. Make it easier for me to preach anyway. Am I going too far? I need to get back to the text. All right, that's not in my notes anyway, so good thing about that. I did not write that down. But before I tell you those three things, there was a time when I was wounded and I was bruised and I didn't know how I was going to come out of it. I really didn't. And I was desperate. I mean, I was desperate before God. I wasn't just crying out. I was crying out. God, I don't know what to do. You got to do this. And I was telling God, you go going down the list of everything he needs to do. Have you ever done that? Going down the list. You got to do this. You got to slap this one. You got to do that. You got to do the other. And then God steps in. I mean, I literally felt the presence of the Almighty God. And I don't generally get those holy doodads. You know, those are goosebumps if you don't know what those are. We call them holy doodads here. They were all over my body. My hair was standing up on the back of my neck. And God said, I don't need to do any of that for you. Come walk with me. And if you'll walk with me, I'll deliver you from everything But it doesn't come from me doing this and that and the other. It comes from you walking with me. I just wanted to let you know that. Anyway. Are y'all ready for the three things? First thing is you need a divine perspective. You need to see things from God's standpoint. That means you got to adjust your attitude. I know that people have said that optimists are right and pessimists are right too. It's up to you to choose which one you will be. And your attitude determines just about everything that you're going to experience in life. I believe it was Thomas Jefferson said that if a man's got a right mental attitude, he will accomplish any goal. He will do anything that his heart is set to do. If he's got a wrong one, you can't help him. And it's true. If you have a positive outlook, you'll be successful despite your problems. That's why it's absolutely essential to get God's perspective on things. You've got to see things God's way. Consider this company of Benjamites who were 700 warriors and they were left-handed. And in the Hebrew, these left-handed people, the word means itar, are impeded right hand, meaning that they weren't just left-handed by birth and genetic order. They were left-handed because they had been wounded in battle. And they made up in their mind, I'm not going to stay wounded. I'm going to become useful. So I'm going to learn how to use my left hand. Now, the first thing that happens to people who get wounded, they take themselves out of the fight. They think they can't win now because they're messed up. I'm telling you that if you are wounded and you are broken and you get into the fight, you are guaranteed victory. Don't you stay home no more. Don't you quit worshiping no more. That's not good English, but it sure does sound good. I'm going to say it again. No more. You're not going to sit at home no more and cry about what you're going through. You're going to say, I've lost my right hand, but I'm going to use what I've got left. I may only have about that much energy left in my body, but I'm going to get up and get dressed. And when I come to church, I'm going to give it my all. Instead of just sitting back, waiting for God to do something, you say, where's the enemy at? Here's my left hand. I may not. But they practice so much with their left hand, they can divide a hair. They never missed, the Bible says. They were always on mark. Now, that's pretty cool. Now, that's the kind of attitude I want to get where every time I come to church, we never miss it. Every time I walk into the house of God, I never miss it. Not because I'm perfect or flawless, but it's because I've decided to use my left hand. Wow. Now, I know you might feel like not fighting this morning, but the divine perspective is it's not your battle. Because if you make it your fight, God will leave you to it. Trust me on that. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to make it your fight. Because if it's your fight, it's all yours. Because God will never, ever fight for my fight. Ever. Because God's not on my side or your side or anybody's side. As a matter of fact, God spoke to Joshua. Joshua had just crossed over. He was wondering whether God was going to go with him to whoop up on the Jerichoites. And he didn't know whether or not captain of the Lord's host approached him and said, okay, I want to know, which side are you on, brother? And he said, I'm not on anybody's side. I'm on the Lord's side. Now here's it. Here it is. You're not fighting your fight. You're fighting the Lord's battle. I just want to know, do I have any lefties in the house that say, devil, I'm taking you out, and I want to see everybody in this house that needs the Holy Ghost receive it before I walk out of here. This is the Lord's battle.
You might be hurting, but you're not helpless. You might be bruised, but you're not beaten. You might be broken, but you're not bested. You might be disappointed, but you're not defeated. You're bleeding, but you're not bitter. This battle, I just want to say it. I just want to say it, and I want you to hear it. This battle belongs to the Lord. It's not what side is he on. It's which side am I on? I'm going to fight his battle. I'm going to fight for these young people. I'm going to fight for their soul. I'm going to come here and worship if I don't get nothing out of it, but to see them worship, to see them blessed, to see them filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe that if you've got the attitude that God can, even when it looks like nothing can, God can. And that divine perspective has got to get a hold of us in order for us to transform and to experience beauty instead of ashes. The same can be true for every one of you, not just me, not just one of us, but all of us. Just because you've been injured doesn't mean that you have to be sidelined. And listen to me now. Just because you've got flaws and you're not perfect, and you're not, bless your little old hearts, except for the perfect saints. There's Isabel's gone now, bless her heart. But I've still got, let's see, 1, 2, 3 over there left. Where's Tilly? I don't see her. Okay. Bless her heart. She might be sick. Jesus, heal her in Jesus' name. She might be on a trip. I better hush. That's what I better do. Well, but the rest of you aren't. The point is, you're not perfect. And without grace, listen to me. I'm not giving you an excuse to go out and be stupid. I'm telling you right now that without the grace and the mercy of God, not one of you will be saved. Not one of you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I've been in it all my life. And I'm going to tell you right now, without the grace of God, I can't make it. But I've made poor choices and I've been broken because of it. I promise you that God can heal you today. And there's beauty in the midst of brokenness. I say, church, let us rise up. You're not out of the battle yet. You might be limping. You might be scarred. But I'm leaning on my staff. And I'm saying, I'm leaning on my Jesus. I'm leaning on the Word of God. I'm not perfect, church, but I do know this. I know the Savior. I know the one who has made us right in the eyes of God through His righteousness. The power that works in us is greater than anything that works in the world. Now, I understand your brokenness might slow you down, but it doesn't have the power to defeat you if you don't allow it. You got to get this perspective, because if you don't think like this, there's no beauty in your life. You're going to be full of darkness. You're going to sit there and moan and groan over everything you've lost in life. And I know you've lost. I understand. You've lost some things. But if you see it from God's viewpoint, you'll allow this time to humble you, to make you wiser, to give you a cleansing fire, to give you an inner peace. Have you been knocked down? Have you fallen down? Has anybody been hurt? Am I the only one? Let me ask you this. Really, I want you to answer this question, because I already know you've been hurt. But I'm just saying, have you hurt your own dumb self? How many of you have ever used a hammer? Now, they got all of that automatic stuff where you go, pew, 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 pew. I'd love to get one of them and just shoot him at the devil. Nail his hide down so y'all could gnaw on him for a while. Well, I mean, back when I was doing all of that, doing sheetrock, You had to do it with a hammer. There's not a pew, 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 pew. I mean, everybody say, I'm working so hard. Yeah, right. Pew, pew. How many of you ever missed a nail and hit your own self? Boy, y'all, I tell you what, y'all couldn't tell the truth. How many of you have hurt yourself? But even when you've hurt yourself by wrong choices and problems and situations that have put you outside the will of God, there is nothing that can stop you from being redeemed if you will run to the cross. You got to get a divine perspective. Number two, and I got to hurry because I said three things, didn't I? Did I say three? I'm on only number one. I mean, I got divine perspective and that's it. And some of you are taking notes and you're looking at me. You missed those next two and you see whether I come back tonight. Because I am not coming back tonight to get the other two. I'm getting them now. I got a hamburger waiting on me. All right. Number two, take dominion over your pain. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to move out of self-pity because everybody here's lost stuff. Everybody here's been hurt by church people, outside people, authority figures, family members, and you've hurt your own self. But God's never done me nothing but good. And that's what you got to remember. That's what you got to remember. Yes, there might be a whole bunch that don't like you, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus loved you enough to die for you. And you better start standing and taking dominion over that wound right now. Woo! I wish somebody would get a hold of this and say, I'm going to take dominion over the devil. You ain't stopping me. In the name of Jesus, it hurts. I've been hurt. I'm wounded. But I'm worshiping the one true God who was wounded for me. Take dominion. So God's wanting you to have that kind of confidence to take dominion and to stand up in spirit. And you can stand up while I'm preaching too. It's fine. I don't mind you interrupting me. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. See, I told him I didn't mind. I'm not going to rebuke him. I don't mind. Good man. Good man. So I don't mind you standing up while I preach and interrupting me. Kind of rude, but I mean, no, it's not. Y'all only give me so much time and then y'all take most of it shouting praise God. That's all right. I'm not messing with you. I'm happy. Y'all can stand up anytime you want to. But you have to make up in your mind, I'm not going to let this beat me. You got to quit using your wound as a cover to hide behind. And you got to take dominion over it and quit crying about it. And quit whining about it. Quit telling everybody about it. Quit calling your mama. Because mama can't help you. Daddy can't help you. Ain't nobody can help you. You need to start walking with Jesus. I'll tell you the best thing I could tell you today is start walking with Jesus. And I promise you, but Brother Jeremy, come on up here and be God for once. Kristen, don't listen to this because he'll get the big head. But he's God. And this is what I found. If I just started walking with him and talking with him, I forgot all about what was wrong. And before I knew it, he had done walked me out of my problem into a new day. I got walked right on into a new level of worship and power and praise. Okay, very quickly, number three. Number one is three of you. Number two, that's triple ties for the next year. No. Take what? Number three, get an attitude of thanksgiving. Be thankful you're not dead yet. You got a chance to recover as long as there's breath. Be thankful God did not completely wipe you out when He should have. God should have wiped you out with your attitude. He should have mopped the floor with your sorry spirit, but He didn't do it. And He's given you another chance, and you ought to be thankful. You can stand. Now, here's what happens to a lot of people, and the reason why they can't get grateful is because they are asked of the Lord to bless people that have hurt them, and when God starts blessing them, it makes it difficult for them when they've been hurt to see other people that hurt them get blessed. And it does, okay? It messes with your head. It does. But let me explain something to you. Here's what I've had to learn. This is what I do. Only God can judge some things. And when you step into the place of judge, then whatever judgment you mete out is come right back to you again. You have to learn that principle, because if you don't, whatever you judge, because if the Bible is right, no temptation has taken you but such as common to man. That means every man is tempted, and every man has the same temptations. And that refers to women as well. That's mankind. It's not referring to just a gender. It's referring to all of mankind. Because we all are men of like passions. So we all have a choice to make, okay? Here's what I've learned to do. This is it. This is that divine perspective, that walking with Him. Let God judge it. And here's what He told me. This is what you got to do. If He decides to show them mercy, rejoice. Because He gave me mercy. Rejoice in it. If He decides to judge them, weep. Do not rejoice. Don't you ever let the words come out of your mouth to anybody else, because it is a sin against God. That's an abomination. The Bible said so. In the book of Proverbs, it's an abomination to do that. If God decides to judge him, you weep. Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. There's your principle. It's in Romans chapter 12. I believe it's chapter 12. So go read Romans chapter 12, tell you how to be a Christian. If you can't do the Sermon on the Mount, it condenses. Romans 12 is the Sermon on the Mount condensed. For all you people that can't read for more than one chapter because you're dyslexic, like me. It's one chapter. It takes all of the Sermon on the Mount, condenses it into one chapter. James is the condensed version of the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and some of the Psalms. Same concepts, principles, nothing different. He just words it differently, condenses it, captures all the main points, and condenses it into just Jesus was simple. I mean, He was just magnificent in His simplifying of truth. And that's the reason why Paul prayed, we don't need to be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ. That's why all that's in the Bible, is because you need to make it simple. I read a book called from Tip O'Neill, who was the Speaker of the House, and it's entitled All Politics is Local. And he said that he had to learn how to kiss the audience when he spoke to them. And that for him was keep it simple. Now, he said stupid, but I'm not going to say that, okay? Because I don't want you to call yourself that. But just keep it simple. Simple. I don't know how to say it. Just keep it simple. You got to learn to keep it simple. And just keep Jesus simple in your life. Don't get complicated with, I don't understand. I want an explanation. That's complicating the matter. Walk with him. Wounded heart, I'm not minimizing your pain. I'm not trying to do anything but get you healed to where you can operate in a new level of authority and dominion and power and glorify God in the midst of whatever you might be going through. Amen. God is fixing vehicles on the side of the road. God still is healing unrecognizable diseases. And he's still comforting hearts, precious souls. Precious souls, he's still comforting hearts. I don't know what you might need. Now, if you've got a limp in the Holy Ghost, if you got all of my intercessors, I need y'all up here real quick. If you got a limp, you got a brokenness in your life and you know it, doesn't matter what it is, it might just be a hurt, might be a physical issue, it might be a lot of things. But I want you to step out from where you're standing and I want you to walk up here right now and I want you to believe. I want you to believe that God has not disposed of you. You are not useless. You might feel a little bit out of sorts. You might feel like I'm out of place. And I know this is a big crowd and we got a lot of people here and it's very intimidating to have to walk in front of all these people. But every one of them are either in your shoes or have been or will be soon. So do not let that stop you, please. I want you to walk up here. I want you to find your way to this altar and I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to seek the Lord all over this house. I don't want anybody to stay in the back that needs God. If you need a touch from God, don't you let anything stop you. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're not out of the game. You're not out of the fight. You don't need to take yourself out because you're wounded. You don't need to take yourself out because you're hurting. You need to practice the art of kintsugi. Put a little gold and a little silver and let God repurpose your life and restructure your plan to bring glory and honor to his name. Yes, you'll be further down the road. You'll be more capable of making the right choice. You'll be more capable of doing the right thing. But come and let God minister to you right now in the Holy Ghost. Oh, all over this building. Walk up here and let Jesus be the answer to your dilemma.